14004, waiver of waste discharge requirements and general water quality certification for county road management activities conducted under the five county roads program in Del Norte, Humboldt, Mendocino, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties in the North Coast region.
Yes.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi there. We loaded up. And which button do I push? The R?
One blows us up, the other.
The lower one? There we go. Okay. My name's Maggie Robinson. I am the acting senior engineering geologist for the Southern Timber Unit in the Non-Point Source Division. I'm here today to present a workshop on item number 5, which is draft order number R1-2013-0004. The purpose of this workshop is to solicit public comment on this draft waiver and to inform the board of the status and content of the draft waiver. This workshop consists of three parts: the staff presentation, a presentation by Mark Lancaster, program director for the 5C Salmonid Conservation Program, which I will be referring to as the 5C program throughout this presentation, and an opportunity for public comment. Here we go. Staff presentation, I'll be walking everyone through a brief history of the 5C program, the contents of the draft waiver, the CEQA document that was prepared for this draft waiver, the benefits of the draft waiver, outreach conducted as part of waiver development, and our next steps for adoption for the draft waiver. The 5C program includes most of the North Coast region, covering the counties of Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity, and portions of Siskiyou and Mendocino counties. These are going to be collectively referred to as the five counties in this presentation. In 1997, coho salmon was listed as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. As a result of the listing, supervisors from the five counties initiated the five counties Salmonid Conservation Program in 1998. As part of the program initiation, the five counties commissioned a UC Davis study to evaluate the effects of county land use regulations and management on anadromous salmonids. Study conclusions had three main recommendations. They're listed on the slide. They were improvements in on-the-ground maintenance activities, standardization of road and bridge maintenance policies, and continuing education and training of roads personnel. In 2002, the Five Counties Roads Manual was developed as a result of the findings. Presently, each of the five counties are participating either in part or in whole in the 5C program. There are more than 20 TMDLs in the North Coast region addressing sediment-impaired watersheds and impacts to cold water fisheries habitats. It's been long recognized in our TMDLs and in scientific literature that roads are a significant source of sediment. However, discharges from road maintenance activities to date have not been comprehensively covered by permitting. In 2008, as part of the non-point source planning effort, our regional board recognized the opportunity to use the already established 5C program as a way for counties to achieve both non-point source compliance and TMDL implementation for road maintenance activities. Under that direction, our executive officer, Kat Coleman at the time, initiated the development of the 5C waiver. Writing of this waiver began in late 2011, and a draft was released for public comment on January 4th, 2013. Just adjusting here. This waiver covers all the 5C road maintenance activities within the manual, with the exception of bridge painting. The draft waiver. There are three main components to the draft waiver, all three of which rely on the implementation of the procedures and BMPs contained within the 5C manual. The three components are the draft waiver itself, an included General 401 water quality certification, and a monitoring and reporting plan. There we go. Okay. The waiver itself covers all 5C road maintenance activities within the manual, with the exception of bridge painting. A separate state water board permit is required for that particular type of activity. Finding number 2, which starts on page 2 of the draft waiver, which is in your packets, lists the activities covered within the waiver. The main categories of these activities are road maintenance, culvert maintenance, soil disposal, maintenance yard management, bridge maintenance with the exception of painting, emergency maintenance, snow and ice removal, and treatment of legacy sites. And I'd like to point out that the inventorying, prioritizing, and treatment of legacy sediment sites are specifically called out both in the 5C manual and in this waiver, which is in conformance with the requirements of our state non-point source policy. The draft waiver includes a general 401 water quality certification. The water quality certification provides coverage to county projects requiring Section 404 permits from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Certification can last up to 5 years. And we did this in order to streamline the amount of paperwork counties need to submit. And in that line of thinking, we also included a provision allowing for use of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife 1600 agreement application to meet our requirements for application for general water quality certification. That was a long sentence. Did that? They can use their application to get our certification. There we go. Additionally, the general certification fees for this waiver are markedly lower than what would otherwise be required for certification. Under this waiver, they would be, at this time, $114 as opposed to $944. There are four types of monitoring required under the draft waiver, which are outlined in Chapter 10 of the 5C manual. There are implementation monitoring, effectiveness monitoring, photo point, and project monitoring. Implementation and effectiveness monitoring are required for all projects. Photo point and project monitoring are reserved for more complex projects that require an evaluation of how BMPs perform over an extended period of time. These may be required at the discretion of the executive officer. Additionally, annual reports are required as part of the monitoring and reporting plan, an example outlined of which is also included in Chapter 10 of the 5C manual. Annual reports are required to contain summaries of implementation and effectiveness monitoring, corrective actions taken in the event of BMP failure, progress on legacy site inventories and treatment, illicit discharge investigations, and trainings attended by county road staff, among other things. Presently, annual reports are prepared by the 5C program staff on behalf of the counties. As the lead agency for development of this waiver, we are preparing a mitigated negative declaration for the project. One of the goals in preparing this mitigated neg deck is for the waiver to streamline the CEQA process for projects done under the 5C program. Presently, roads projects are evaluated under CEQA one at a time, with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife conducting the individual analyses. The CEQA document that we're preparing is designed to cover all projects done under the 5C program, eliminating the need for individual analyses to be done. The goal is, in doing that, is to reduce the time and cost for project analysis. It is lengthy and it's expensive. And what that will do is to free up county resources for project implementation. We've been working with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to ensure that our CEQA document will meet their needs as a reviewing agency. We just sent a draft out to them yesterday. In writing this draft waiver, we strive to make it as user-friendly as possible, both for the counties and our staff, and for actually the California Department of Fish and Wildlife staff too. The main benefits that will be realized from this waiver, we believe, will be that projects enrolled under the waiver will be non-point source policy compliant. They will be provided TMDL coverage. Additionally, they will have the requirements for reports of waste discharge and issuance of waste discharge requirements waived. They'll have reduced general water quality certification fees. They'll have a streamlined water quality certification application process. And they'll have a CEQA document that provides coverage for projects conducted as part of the 5C program. During the waiver development, we conducted outreach with 5C County staff, with the California Department of Fish and Game. We've been working closely with them, and we've gotten a lot of really good input from them in this process. Oops. There's our outreach. So, moving forward, The draft waiver and the monitoring and reporting plan were released for a public 45-day comment period on January 4th, 2013. The longer comment period is required due to the inclusion of the general water quality certification within the waiver. Waivers usually only have a 30-day period. Water quality certifications require a 45-day period. Close of public comment will be on February 19th, 2013. We plan on bringing the draft waiver to the board for adoption at this time on May 2nd, at the May 2nd meeting in Eureka, California. And in the meantime, the mitigated negative declaration for the waiver is still being developed and will be released for a 30-day public comment period prior to the May board meeting in Eureka. We're hoping for March 1st for the start of that public comment period. That's the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to take any questions. Oh, and this is my contact information. If anybody needs to submit comments, feel free to use that information to reach me.
Very nice, Maggie.
Thanks.
So do I understand then the CEQA doc would be certified prior to adoption of the waiver, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. And at the same time, I think, you know, we talked about this in the briefing the other day, but just for general purposes, I think, you know, we're really, I think, at a great advantage to take a program like this and certify and recognize the work by counties and individuals out here doing good work that work towards water quality, making a streamlined permit process, making a lower fee base, making a comprehensive CEQA document. It just makes sense all the way around. And at the same time, we're working with all the bend going towards getting better water quality.
Yeah.
From a homegrown sense, and I think that is just very, very smart. At the same time, looking at this then, I noticed in here there is an exception to this, though. Fish-bearing streams and streams with water supply, they then would just fall under a normal program of having to do reported waste discharge separate, a singular 401 process, 404 and 1600, correct?
I believe they would be doing individual permits for those projects.
Okay.
Mr. Chair? Samantha Olson, your counsel. I just wanted to back up with the CEQA certification question that you had. It's not an EIR. It won't be certified. It will be a draft initial study and negative declaration, mitigated neg deck that will come before you that the board will adopt before it votes on the permit itself.
Okay, thanks.
And I just also wanted to point out, not only if we do that document correctly, it's also available to the counties for their CEQA process, not just Fish and Wildlife.
But the distinction is just that since it's not an EIR, it's not certified. It's a mitigated neg deck, correct?
That's right. And the board would need to certify if it were an EIR.
But do those come concurrently, Sam, so that we essentially will concurrently certify the mitigated neg deck?
They do. They don't have to legally, but they are most often together.
Great.
John,
thanks, did you have a question?
Clarifying.
Yes.
I had wanted this program to happen for a very, very long time. A little bit for background and board members, we tried a more general sediment amendment, and we found that it gets too complex to get a one-size-fits-all. And so you saw we were dealing with timber separately and some of these others. We don't have the labor to write them, and furthermore, I'm not sure we'd be the best at writing road standards. So this going to using the counties and local control, I think, is really a very sound process, and I fully support it. I do want to say one problem we may have, not right away, down the road when we deal with three or four more categories, is our basin plan and the complexity of regulation will go up considerably, and we can have counties outside the five county coming in as well. So for staff, board, citizens, our regulatory strategy for all these different types of non-point sources is going to get more and more complex, and we need to just make sure that at the point we're going to run off a cliff where, you know, you have to be Albert Einstein to use it, then we may have to get a bigger strategy or something else. But I think for the next 5 years, this is really sound, and I really like using the local governmental authorities. And then our job is to review it, meets water quality standards, and then great, go do it.
Yep, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? By the way, I don't have any speaker cards for this. I know that Mark Lancaster is up next. But if you wanted to speak to this item, Rick, I know you drove a long ways. I assume this was your item. So if you didn't, that's fine, too. But I would welcome anybody. How about we do this, Maggie? How about we hear from Mr. Lancaster?
Yes.
And then just bring it back. And
okay.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie, very much.
Thanks.
And some quick instructions.
The bottom one is the forward.
One of them is a laser.
Good afternoon. Mark Lancaster. I'm in the middle of a flu because I'm too young to take a flu shot, but too old to learn to use computers. The best line of the day that so far. So I think I'm in Sacramento, first off. So if I wander off, I took some medicine here a few minutes ago. I might wander back into the... to the topic.
You're in San Francisco now.
Yeah. I'm the director of the Five County Salmonid Conservation Program, as you know, and most of the members have seen presentations relative to our program and are somewhat familiar with it or to varying degrees of familiarity. But I am gonna kind of talk about the waiver and the process and the perceptions of the counties as I show you pictures of what we do, particularly as it relates to these road maintenance activities. And we had a conference call between the county road departments and my staff and I on Tuesday. And I should point out the five counties operates under a memorandum of understanding with each of the individual counties, and we serve as an adjunct to them. We are not the counties. We do not speak for individual counties. But we serve as a training center, a resource center, staffing. We fill a lot. We serve as the conservation arm of counties in Northwest California because they don't have the staff or the expertise to do that. So my comments are a summary of the discussions of the county staffs based on the last series of discussions that I've had with them, as well as my comments of my interactions with your staff over the last few years in working on this waiver effort. I would say that if you had brought county road department people in here this morning and you'd put them in the back, they'd all get up and say similar things about their duties and responsibilities and stewardships of the county roads and their understanding of the water quality and fisheries components that the timberland owners have said to you. And I would say that to some degree they would express the same level of concerns that you had with the timber waiver, just in terms of their perception of where we're proceeding. Then I'll step back and say why I think that Maggie and myself and the counties have a bit more time together before your March, May meeting, when everybody will tell you we think this is a very good way to proceed and we're very happy. So the counties, again, beginning and not by any regulatory requirement whatsoever. There was nothing that required counties to change their philosophy or direction towards water quality and fisheries back in the beginning in the late 90s, except that they felt that if they did nothing, the economic and social impacts and the regulatory restrictions that would come down the line would be so great that they would regret not having taken proactive measures. So to do that, as Maggie said, we did the University of California assessment, and it found that counties were doing some very innovative things relative to water quality and roads, and they were doing some very backwards things. And it varied not only from county to county, but district to district and day to day within the counties. And so there was a need to help bring counties into kind of a consistent alignment. And so that resulted in the creation of the roads manual, which is two-thirds of what this waiver encompasses. In addition, we began an aggressive inventory of all of the fish passage barriers in counties. As you know, we identified about a little under 300 of them and began a systematic priority process to remove the worst of those and restore a lot of habitat. We've restored 140 miles of salmon habitat. And in addition, we began an inventory of county roads for sediment sources. And that inventory is now 10 years old, so it's getting a little bit stale, but there's some products of that which will figure very prominently in this waiver. One is that every stream crossing was identified and classified as to whether it's a class 1, 2, 3, 4 stream. So a county crew can know if they're on a fish-bearing stream or on a ephemeral stream or a ditch. And that piece of the data really doesn't change. It doesn't become stale. Another one is there's a complete crossing inventory. So every pipe in the counties was picked up for the portions of the counties that were covered. Then from there, there's a lot of additional information in that inventory, but I'd say those are two really key components of it. We also, counties, road maintenance, and I do want to back up. Maggie talks about projects. In fact, most of what we actually do is not projects. It is maintenance. Some of these will be projects, but the bulk of the work done by the counties is actually just routine maintenance. And routine maintenance is driven by not just the need for protection of water quality and fisheries, but the Streets and Highways Code sets out a tremendous amount of state-mandated requirements for county roads and take away actually a lot of flexibility that counties could use in developing and designing road systems. For instance, we can't close a road. So in the dead of winter in Trinity County, we can have a completely saturated road surface, and there's nothing we can do about it. Once someone tears up that surface, we can't gate it. We can try to go out and fix it or patch it. But again, this is a Streets and Highways Codes requirement. We have to design the roads for a certain speed. There's a minimum speed that a county road has to be designed for. Counties only own little tiny swaths of land. Sometimes they only own the roadbed. Sometimes they own from the top of the cut to the bottom of the fill. They can't put in a new pipe where there isn't one today without the downstream landowner's concurrence that pipe is acceptable because you're modifying the drainage. Road maintenance is also dictated in a large part by tort cases and lawsuits filed by counties. We've had claims filed because the 200-year-old tree jumped out in front of the car and hit it. And so the counties face a lot of, as they deal with the next, so beginning in the 1990s, we came to them and said, hey, in addition to all those other requirements, you have legal responsibilities and moral responsibilities to deal with water quality and fisheries. So they picked up those tasks as well. And so now as we look at the state of California working towards implementing the Clean Water Act, and by doing that, for instance, bringing waivers in to help implement that, it's another layer that just gets woven into all those other layers that get into the management of the counties. So the crux of what we do, what we've told the counties, what you need to do, where you need to be, is you need to inventory. You need to inventory your crossings for barriers, and barriers is not just fisheries. We're also thinking about wildlife. You need to inventory your road systems and your facilities for sediment sources. And then, like I said, with the inventory, we've got stream class and delivery sites from those road systems. You need to prioritize all of those inventories because we do have a responsibility as public agencies to make sure we're spending the money to the benefit of the public, the wise use of the public funds. And that prioritization tends to fall kind of down this sort of hierarchy: safety first, funding availability, maintenance needs, emergencies, and then projects. And then the next commitment that we said to the counties and they agreed is, besides inventory and prioritization, they need to train, they need to monitor what they're doing, and then they need to constantly adapt and improve on what they're doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump out of order. Oh, there it is. I'm going to jump out of order for a minute and talk about these projects a little bit, and then I'll come back and talk about maintenance. But projects are big things. By the way, the counties in the last 10 years, have spent about $20 million in the water quality and fisheries side of road maintenance, and about 75% of those funds have come from conservation funding grants, principally Clean Water Act, Fisheries Restoration Grant Program, NOAA Fisheries, all of those. So just a quick highlight, county road inventory, about 2,500 miles of roads. The vast majority of the sediment sources are stream crossings. About 81% of the total volume that we estimate delivering to streams comes from those areas around the streams themselves, and about 19% comes from what I'll call more chronic sources: road ditches, road surfaces, cut banks, fill slopes. It does not include big landslides. So Zooming to projects, these are the things that are not covered under this waiver. These are the things that require separate 401 certification, or very often these are covered under a regional general permit, such as Regional General Permit 12. But these are, we've completed 64 culvert upsizings that were barriers and in many cases had a potential for a significant sediment threat to the streams they're in. And in some cases, these structures we removed were on the verge of collapsing. Some we're averaging in our counties, in the interesting trivia, one large diameter culvert collapse per year in the decade that I've been there. So this notion of failing infrastructure is not a notion. We see at least one pipe, at least 6 feet in diameter every year in various counties. We see the bulk of those tend to be in one county, which makes sense because they were hit the worst with the floods of 64. The pipes that were put in very quickly. They're very old. They've rusted. They're coming to the end of their useful life. But every county has had a major culvert collapse in the last decade, and there's no reason in the world for us not to expect that to continue. So the counties are constantly trying to replace these undersized larger infrastructure or ones with large fills all the time. Here's a one we just completed in Mendocino County, Ryan Creek in 2011, Little Browns Creek in Trinity County, and we're seeing salmon respond almost immediately on all of these. We're seeing the upstream areas recolonized almost immediately. Some are extremely small in experiments by the county. So this is a 42-inch diameter, 3.5-foot diameter pipe that was replaced with a 7-foot pipe. And it allows the counties to experiment, make some mistakes, screw things up, learn, change, do things better. This one's working pretty well. So the bulk of the waiver focuses on the routine road maintenance activities, which is dictated by the roads manual. The roads manual, by the way, has been certified under Section 4D, Limit 10 of the Endangered Species Act. And on the federal side, we are just now, this was completed in 2005, on the federal side, we are just now really understanding the tremendous benefits of that certification. We are getting out of almost all environmental review relative to fisheries on many, many maintenance projects on county roads that occur on federal lands. And it's becoming extremely valuable. So one of the things to take forward to the counties with the waiver is, once this stuff starts getting worked out and the bugs get worked out, you're going to find things can move very quickly and very effectively. The manual discusses four major elements, background, implementation, and as Maggie said, she showed you the areas that it covers, the adaptive management, and then the appendices. These are the directions that we provide to the counties, and we work with them very closely, and which is reflected in the waiver, continue to assist in recognizing concerns, inspect the roads annually, schedule maintenance based on the various prioritizations, and determine when maintenance is not working, when you need to just change the system. If you haven't seen what, you know, for instance, what the manual looks like, this is a ditch shaping and cleaning best management practices that are contained in the manual and which are reflected in your mitigations in your eventual CEQA document. Some of the activities covered include slide stabilizations like this one, or cut bank slide stabilizations, excuse me. And these are taken over a series of years. I'm going to keep going. One of the things that we focus on is simply changing the timing of activity. So, for instance, pulling ditches when streams are flowing, there are BMPs not to do it. And if you have to do it, how to do it so that you don't discharge into a water body. We learn from our mistakes, and one of the things is we're constantly using the trainings as a way to show people this is a discharge in July into a creek where a ditch was pulled and then a water truck was used to wash the dirt off the road surface, went into the creek, and it left the creek turbid for 8 hours. That's a practice that was stopped as a result of that. We talk about when and where to apply different levels of intensity and how to change intensities of routine maintenance. So these things are just, they're relatively boring to the average person, but they're all geared towards implementing water quality improvements. One of the the areas that the counties are constantly trying to take advantage of is changing the road surface condition, drainage. This is something that was actively opposed by the counties for the first 5 years of our work. But as we got some of these done and they began to see their reduced maintenance costs, now we're seeing counties implement this where they can and how they can. And again, there are real liability issues about where they can do this type of work. So that where they can, they are. And this is a example of a project where it was converted from in-slope to out-slope. These are this is one that was just completed this year, a very long ditch, 800-foot long ditch, disconnected, and the road out-sloped and then surfaced with asphalt grindings. So these are the activities that are going on that will be encompassed within the waiver and in which the counties are actively doing currently and will continue to do through time. Some roads are a bigger challenge than others, and we're not going to get to all of them in a short time, and the waiver does recognize there's a rate of implementation for legacy work. The counties are struggling with funding levels. They've all had declines in staffing. They've all had declines in revenues. In fact, some of them, the timber counties, Trinity, Siskiyou, and Del Norte, have seen as much as 50% reduction in staffing. And they don't even plow roads anymore for the winter. Trinity County sold all of its snowplow trucks. And they said, if you have a road that is really important to you, you better buy one of our old trucks, because that's how you're.
Amen on that comment, yeah.
And that's how that is how you're going to plow your road going forward. So they're struggling with their implementation of water quality objectives, along with their implementation of their routine maintenance. But these are all examples of the types of activities that are covered under the manual that they have undertaken. And the waiver will go a long ways to, if they currently required a 401 and it's covered by the general certification and waiver, it'll go a long ways towards speeding these projects up. I think I've sort of made the point of these. I really want you to understand what they're doing. So even in spoils management, one of the interesting things is the manual called for recycling of materials, and that took the county a little bit of time to get started, but now they're all very aggressive about recycling everything they can, pulling out of their ditches, pulling out of their landslides. They're sorting that material and reusing it as much as possible. We do focus on various training them on using different erosion control techniques. Like I said, we use it as an experiment. We do some things that work, some things that don't work, give them some feedback. We have BMPs even on how to handle the concrete, where to put the spoils. Bridge maintenance, one of the success stories that I want to convey to you, and I may have done this last time, I'm not sure, but we're focusing a lot now on how to manage your large wood, which in the past, for instance, the counties have managed it by removing it. In this particular case, this is a bridge in the Scott River, and there was a large cottonwood that was upstream of the county bridge. They were worried about it snagging on the bridge, and so they went in and moved it. But instead of pulling it out of the channel, they pushed it against the bank. And the results now is this essentially a bioengineered cottonwood bank that is now actually providing protection more than what they anticipated. I don't want to say they actually thought this would happen. This resulted in, and they'll tell you that, you know, through their great stewardship and leadership, this is where they've come. And I'm buying it. Because everybody blames them when they get something wrong, so they might as well, you know, get credit when they get something right. The manual does talk about snow and ice management, you know, particularly where to store it, how to deal with icing and sanding and de-icing chemicals. This is more of a issue for Trinity and Siskiyou counties, typically. And as Maggie said, there is a level of monitoring. In fact, you've noticed a lot of photos were from before and after at the exact same point. So the photo point monitoring is something that we are striving to train counties to do and to incorporate into their day-to-day activities. It's not easy. But we also have some longer-term monitoring, such as channel adjustment at project sites. We are not committing to this level of monitoring for routine activities. This is fairly expensive and takes quite a bit of time. Again, same thing, response monitoring to the removal of barriers and fish populations. Counties aren't in the business of biology. We design it to function. We'll measure it to see that it was built the way it was designed, and then 99% of the time we'll take some pictures and stand back. We do, however, once in a while commit to a little bit more extensive monitoring so that we can have a sense of what we're doing. Although not in the waiver, but an illustration of how the counties are trying to implement this is their willingness to take some risks. So this logjam is upstream. Oops. This logjam is upstream of a county crossing, and it jammed up began in 2004, and the county we monitored it for the county, but we monitored it through 2011 when the jam cleared, and here you can see materials loading up in the crossing in 2011, and by 2012 all the wood has moved downstream. This is a stream system that prior to this project was not able to get any wood in it, none. We removed all of the wood from the stream, and because it's in an urban area, all other streams in there also had all the wood removed. So there was no wood routing through this large coho-bearing stream prior to both the training and the awareness of the county. So the counties are continuing to work in that direction. Who cares? Training. We are committed to the training programs. And some experimentation, bioengineering. You're going to see that as a bigger component of county stream bank, road bank intersections quite a bit. So having said all that, that may be the last slide. I'm not sure. I don't want to find out what's beyond that. The concerns the counties have with the waiver is that it's going to cost them. Let me put their perceived concerns. We have never required a permit from 99% of our maintenance activities in the past. With a waiver, we are bringing ourselves into compliance to something for which we're not sure we understand why we are. This is one of their concerns. Two, we can't commit any more money than we've already committed to water quality and fisheries. We're $20 million into this with declining budgets. So as we move forward, it's a zero-sum game. We will take money away from projects for waiver compliance, or we will save money by waiver compliance to put into projects. But there is no more money. In fact, the projections are for continuing decline of revenues for the counties for road maintenance. Another concern is the level of documentation required and the level of scrutiny and monitoring required. Having said those are the concerns of the counties, that does not mean that those concerns are not addressed in the waiver, and that the counties have to just continually be made comfortable to understand the relationship of the waiver and the relationship of the Clean Water Act and the relationship to the county. So some things are very clear to them. If they don't have to get 401s that they currently get, that's great. And the cost, as Maggie said, $144 for the submittal of the notice of intent and the waiver is cheap. Even if it's $144 that they don't pay today, it's cheaper than the individual permits, or it's cheaper than getting in trouble. It's cheaper than not complying or violating the Clean Water Act requirements. So we will work continually with them to make them understand that. I think they're very close to it, but they get a little cold feet because this is something new. And so we are working very closely with them to understand that. And what I really want to say is that the commitment of your staff to continue to work with that and with us and to meet with the counties is critical, so that by May, we're all very happy to say that we're glad to see this waiver move forward. I will answer questions. I didn't look at any lights. I don't know how long it went. So
you did just right. That was beautiful. Mark, thank you very much. In fact, I think some of those pictures, I think that large woody debris under that culvert thing was stuff we looked at with you a while back up. That's yes. That one above Weaverville, right?
Yep. That one is above Weaverville.
Yeah. It's really great to see this kind of program. I mean, this is an existing program. You're right in the middle of it. You're a facilitator to for a very worthy cause, it looks to me like, into a program that really does have benefits. I can understand, I think, either the process of walking towards regulation. At the same time, I would say to that you know, with the movement into the non-point source world where we're moving these days, I think the counties, myself, my response to that would be that they're being proactive and they're paying it forward. And I think the fact of regulatory certainty, to the degree which you can have your own permitting program adopted as an implementation program, to me is of great benefit. Of cost, yeah. And I, by the way, I don't think these five counties are immune to anything that any other county out there isn't struggling with roads. I live here in Sonoma County, and we're talking about letting a great majority of our roads go back to dirt or something like that. That's a challenge everywhere. Let me ask you, though, from the standpoint funding, county roads and going through this process, because this becomes, you know, this is also a linkage of a county activity of doing maintenance but improvement out here. They're on the water quality front. This hooks into endangered species, salmonids, water quality. Does that give it any advantage or any better footing maybe to look through grants and some of their activities to give them a wider spectrum besides just general fund taking this off a tax bill kind of thing?
It does, and it did. Like I said, we're $20 million into this in a decade, and about $15 million of that is through grant funding through various entities. And that's how you tackle those big projects.
Yeah, sure.
Relative to kind of what the waiver covers, the day-to-day maintenance, there's not much other than county road funds for that type of activity. But if we have major, fish barriers are relatively easy. But if you have major drainage alterations where you've had thousands of yards being washed out of the road system in the past, there is a benefit there. The county can reduce its maintenance costs. And we are seeing maintenance costs go down as a result of some of those grant funds.
Well, and some of this, it seems to me, is evolution. I mean, I've certainly noticed in Sonoma County here where it's not this kind of mechanism, but it's a separate permitting mechanism, and it's more kind of geared towards stormwater. But still, I had noticed in the last 5 years a change in Howard County road crews, you know, approach that maintenance kind of equation. You know, you see just a different practice out there. You know, you see wattles and ditches. You see timing difference and a lot, you know, just difference in practice. And it can happen. And some of this, I think, is evolution. I think these county road departments are great. You know, they struggle mightily to try and take care of an infrastructure that is just everywhere. And it's old and dated. And it's, you know, it's like my house. Every time I think I get even on my house, it starts falling apart again. And I have real, real strong feelings about just, you know, counties having, you know, to do that and to do it in a regulated way. I think this is great. I think your work and efforts, Mark, are tremendous. And to get in the middle of this and facilitate this process for us and our staff, Maggie, to be able to hook this together and make a great leap forward. There is an act of faith, I think, on county's part to take this and be regulated. But again, I look at it as paying it forward and getting engaged. And I think that's real smart, and I give you a whole lot of credit. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
Maggie, why don't you come back up? What's that?
Not bad for a guy in Nevada.
He's doing pretty good. Well, Maggie, thank you very much. I think you. We will look forward to. It looks like this has a. Am I correct to say May? I forgot your schedule here.
We are looking at May 2nd meeting for proposed adoption.
Okay, and it sounds like you have a dual track here, both on your CEQA process and then this adoption of this coming.
Yes. Yes, so the intent is to have CEQA done before then and have an opportunity for public comment.
The counties did ask that the hearing be held in the North Coast because they can't.
Ms. Harris, did you have a question?
It'll be in the North Coast.
No. Sorry, Ms. Harris asked, actually.
When is public comment period?
Public comment period will be ending February. Let me flip through. February 19th. Thank you.
Okay.
The 19th.
And I'm sorry, you addressed something, Mark, to Maggie. We're good?
Yeah, we're good. The request, there was going to be a request that we hold the proposed adoption hearing up north, where the majority of the county representatives are.
Which is
but
correct.
But we're already doing that. So
yeah, which is correct.
That's being handled.
So,
yeah.
Well, listen, great work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's nice to see this come to home. Like John said, I know this has been going for a while, and it's really nice to see it come around third and come to home.
Yes,
so
thank
great
you.
Work. Thank
Thanks.
You very much, Maggie. Okay, moving on. We're going to move on to item number